Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a portion of our epistle lesson again, Galatians chapter 5. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I warn you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you haven't received one already, I did print out for you definitions of both the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. They are for you to read on your own because we don't have time to go through each one of them individually here in this sermon. So read them when you can, and especially if you maybe are not familiar with what some of those things might mean. This morning, I want to start out by defining some terms or concepts, and these are very important to understand because they serve as the background for Galatians 5, and because they speak to and reflect a reality, the most important reality. So first, if you are a Christian, you are not under the law. That is, if you are a Christian, you are free from the curse and the guilt of the moral law of God. You are free from the obligation to obey any and all moral commands given by God in order to be right, to be righteous, to be justified, and not guilty before God. To be a Christian, to be free from the law, to be free in Christ, means that you are really justified, really declared innocent, really righteous by faith alone in Christ, apart from the works of the law. Paul also calls us living by the Spirit, for it is the Holy Spirit that brings to us and creates within us this faith alone in Christ that justifies and saves. He put it this way in chapter 2, and yet because we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus, even we ourselves have believed in Christ Jesus. This was so we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. Again, this is a reality. And this is the background for what Paul says in Galatians 5. I also wish to comment on the first several verses of Galatians 5 before we get into the specific verses of our text. So here are the first several verses. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For we eagerly await through the Spirit, by faith, the hope of righteousness. The primary reason the apostle was writing to the church in Galatia was because they were beginning to depart from their freedom in Christ, from the gospel, from their justification before God by faith alone in Christ, apart from the works of the law. Once they allow into their thinking and believing, he was telling them, the idea that even just one law, just one command, whether it be the moral law or God's civil law, ceremonial law, or even a man-made law, once they allow into their thinking and believing the idea that just one is needed to make one right or righteous or justified before God rather than faith alone in Christ, they have made themselves aliens or foreigners to Christ. They have fallen away from grace, from God's unconditional love and mercy. See, that's how serious this is. And it's why Paul, as if he is giving orders to soldiers under his command, says, stand firm. Don't wander. Do not stray. Do not walk over there or over there, but stand firm right here in this freedom, this total freedom from the law that you have alone in Christ. For once, he implies in these verses, once you think you have to do just one thing from God's law to gain his favor, you will find yourself obligated to obey the entire law. Now, the objection is often raised to this faith alone, but how then will I avoid all those evil works of the flesh, that sinful flesh that wishes to compel me to engage in sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and other such things? Don't I need to be under the law to avoid these? This freedom in Christ stuff, this faith alone apart from the works of the law, isn't that saying I am free to live however I want to live? And Paul's answer is no way. You are greatly misled. Actually, Paul deals with this in several ways. First, he points out in Galatians and in Romans that whereas the law of God does an excellent job of describing how we are to love God and love our neighbor, the law has no power to accomplish what it describes, except in a very superficial or surface way, you know, which is fine and good. We like a civil society, so we want people to at least superficially obey the law for the sake of civility. But the law has no power to produce real good works in us before God, deeds that are perfect at the very core, since that would mean that the real power would have to come from within us, from within sinful human beings. And we can't do that. It's impossible. Paul also deals with this objection by pointing out to the objectors, at least some of them, that they have a misunderstanding, a total misunderstanding of what it means to be free in Christ, to be living by the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says, you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. This freedom does not mean free to let the flesh rule. That's insane. It's like a man being rescued from a burning house. And immediately as he's rescued, what does he do? He runs back into the burning house. Insane. And this is why Paul gives this very severe warning in our text to those who think freedom in Christ means they can live in the works of the flesh. He says again, I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the third way that Paul deals with this objection and confusion is a very positive way. He reminds the Galatian Christians that to have this freedom in Christ, to live by the Spirit, to have Christian faith, to cling to Christ alone, to truly believe one is justified by faith alone, to be grounded in the true gospel, that this is the only way to avoid the works of the flesh. Again, he says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, he already clarified this back earlier in chapter 3 when he said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh, by your own effort? And so we have a very interesting picture, you might say, placed before us that almost seems like a contradiction. Paul says you need to stand firm in the freedom you have in Christ. You need to be grounded in faith alone, apart from the works of the law. And back in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, you have taken your stand on the gospel, which tells you that Christ alone paid for all your sins. It's like he's saying, don't move. Don't take a single step away from the Bible's teaching of grace alone. And here, in Galatians 5, he is saying, let me tell you why you need to stand firm. So you can walk as you should. So you can be led as you should. So you should keep in step as you should. Walk by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, when we stand in the freedom from the law that we have in Christ, when we sinners who sin daily cling to Christ alone for forgiveness by the work of the Spirit, we are to remember that our sinful flesh has been crucified. The flesh will not rule us. The fruit of the Spirit will be born. Standing, but walking by the Spirit. Standing, but being led by the Spirit. Standing, but keeping in step with the Spirit. It's like you're standing somewhere tomorrow with the Holy Spirit close by, and you say, I'm a Christian, but man, I would like to avoid those works of the flesh. I'm a Christian, but man, I would love to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit kindly says to you, walk by my power found in the gospel. And as he goes in front of you, he says, come on, you who are forgiven in the Son of God, I will lead you. And then as you notice him maybe getting a little further away, he turns and graciously reminds you, dear child, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Come on. Keep in step with me. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is what happens when we walk by the Spirit, are led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. I'd like to say a couple more things. First, to say that the flesh will not rule us is not to say that the Christian will not struggle or wrestle with the flesh. If we did not, either we've given into the flesh or we're already in heaven where there is no sin. But we are here and we do sin daily. And if you wrestle with one or more of these works of the flesh, the solution is not the law. The solution is not to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But the solution is the Holy Spirit, who directs the sinner not to the sinner's heart, but to the crucified and risen Christ, in whom you have forgiveness, always. The solution is the Spirit working through the gospel in word and sacrament. That is where the Spirit directs you. Now keep in mind here, I'm speaking to the repentant. I'm not speaking to those who are not repentant. They are to receive no comfort. Rather, they are to be pounded down by the law until they realize that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So they will repent. Also, the apostle in this letter emphasizes the unity of believers in Christ. If and when we struggle as a congregation with strife and dissensions and factions like the Galatians were experiencing, the solution is two things. It's making sure, first of all, that the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, united in the doctrine of God's Word. And second, it means making sure fruit of the Spirit. Listen again to these fruit and how they apply so well to our life as a congregation and with each other. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, some people have the ability to fight. And I think some would put me in that category. Fighting definitely has its place within the Christian church, as we can see with St. Paul, who fought for the truth of God's word, not to mention Jesus himself. And both of them, of course, ended up dying for defending the truth of the word. But we have to check ourselves. For fighting should never take place at the expense of the fruit of the Spirit. Standing and fighting for the truth, all the while bearing the fruit of the Spirit. One of the reasons Paul lists both the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit is to remind us who we are not, who we are not to be, and who we are to be. It is there to guide us as we walk by the Spirit, as we are led by the Spirit, as we keep in step with the Spirit. all the while standing firm in the gospel of free forgiveness in Christ. Amen. Please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.